The reading this morning is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, reading from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray for Marilyn. If you're to hold out your hand, do feel free to. So, Father, we thank you for that amazing word written by Peter, the disciple. We thank you, Lord, for Marilyn, also a follower, disciple of yours. We pray that you will use her now to speak your words to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Just come down a little bit. Just get it to a normal person's height. Okay. So lovely to be here with you. So we've been doing a series on fruits of the Spirit. And the fruit that I've been given on to talk about today is joy. It's a bit of a mixed day, sad and joyful day. So I'm going to look at what we as Christians have to be joyful about and how to be joyful when life is not so good. So what do we as Christians have to be joyful about? Well, there is loads. There is loads. And I'm only going to cover a little bit, but it's all in the Bible if you would like to read it. But first, let's look at what joy actually means. You may think joy means happy, chirpy, delighted, over the moon, smiley. But I've researched it, and biblically, that is not what it means. The joy talked about in the Bible is not the result of good outward circumstances, but it is a joy that comes from within. So it's not a feeling you get when life is going pretty good or when you've been and bought something really beautiful. It's a joy that comes from deep within and it is purely a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a joy that never runs out. Charles Spurgeon said, "Joy is the flag that flies above the temple when the King of Kings is in residence." And I think that says it all, really. So to look further at what we as Christians have to be joyful about, the scripture that was read this morning, 1 Peter 1, 3-9, verse 3 says, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So we can have joy in our hearts because we have a living hope. And as we know, his name is Jesus. Through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we have a living hope. He is alive. He lives and we can have joy. We can have joy because God laid this amazing stone in Zion. And this was a stone unlike no other. This stone was the living, breathing, sinless Saviour of the world, Christ the cornerstone, our unshakable foundation. As a church, our unshakable foundation. We can have joy in our hearts because we have a Saviour who has beaten death. He has experienced all that death had to offer and he overcame it, and he stands in absolute victory. And sometimes we can see death, I think, as a bit of a brick wall. It's something that we can't see past. It's a barrier that we have not crossed. But he, our Lord Jesus, he is the conqueror of death. He is the victorious one. He went through death and he has beaten it, and he is the risen Lord. He is the one who took everything that the devil could throw at him and who stands in absolute triumph, a holy, eternal King of kings, Lord of lords, Almighty God, and there is no one like him. There is no one who comes close to him. There is no one who compares to him, and that is something for us all to be joyful about. Because of the cross, we have eternal life. That means we will live forever. Literally, if we are believers in Jesus, we will live forever. And I think we forget about that bit sometimes. We forget that we have a place in heaven for all eternity. There is joy to be found in this. 1 Peter 1 verse 4 says, "We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." We can have joy in our hearts because we have an inheritance in heaven. And that inheritance is incorruptible. It is set aside for you and me, and no one can touch it. It will never perish, it will never fade, and it will never spoil, because it is reserved in heaven with your name on it. Anything that we inherit on this earth will never ever compare with the riches and treasures that our Father has set aside for us in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4 gives a snapshot of what our inheritance in heaven will look like. And it says, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away." We can have joy in knowing that this is how it will be. This is how it will be for those who believe in Jesus. This is how it will be for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everything will be made new. The Bible says that in heaven there is no night, because the glory of God shines so brightly. When we get this, when we really understand this and we value this, when we know the glory that awaits us, it's so much easier to endure all that life throws at us here on earth. 1 Peter 1 verse 8 says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy." We can have joy because even though we haven't seen him, we love him. And I love that scripture. It's one of my favourites. We can't see Jesus, and yet we love him. So let me ask you, first of all, and you don't need to answer, but just think about it. Do you love him? Do you? How can we love someone that we can't see? People ask that in Alpha a lot. How can you have inexpressible joy and love for someone that you can't see? Christian joy in our soul is produced by the Holy Spirit as he shows us the beauty of Christ in the Word of God and in the world around us. And that is what joy is. It is the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus time and time again in ordinary things in everyday lives, through the Word of God, through those made in the image of God, us, through the beauty of creation, and through being in the presence of Jesus in prayer. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus a reality to us. He reveals God, this holy, eternal God, to human beings, to broken, sinful human beings. To our eyes, he reveals this holy, almighty God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." To sit in the presence of Jesus, our amazing Saviour, is to know a love that is untouchable in this world. There is nothing that can touch it. To sit at his feet and listen to him and learn from him and rest in his presence, that is where we are changed. It is there that we are brought to our knees. To be in the presence of Jesus means to take time out of this world for a bit. To find somewhere that you can just be. The Bible says go into a room and close the door. It is so worth it. When we spend time in the presence of the King of Kings, when we gaze upon his majesty, when we experience his love and his mercy and his unending grace, it is then we realize that we love him. And the miracle of it all is he loves us. The miracle of love that has no strings attached, no conditions attached. He loves us and we can't see him, but we love him. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy." When we spend time in the presence of Jesus, we are transformed. Nothing less can happen when we spend time in the presence of an almighty God. We forget about who we are. We forget about all the things that we are currently facing, because even though he is unseen, we see him for who he is. And when we see him for who he is, that changes everything. It changes our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and our hearts. And our hearts are filled with an inexpressible joy for this Jesus that we cannot see, but we love. Psalm 42 verse 7 says, "Deep calls unto deep." That is what happens when we spend time in the presence of Jesus. Deep calling unto deep. Meeting with a holy God. And this is for ordinary people. It is not for the select few. It is not for the super spiritual. It is not for perfect people, but it is for us. For every single human being who ever breathed on planet Earth, you can come into the presence of Jesus, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from. He will welcome you. Deep calls unto deep. Jesus offers us living water to drink. He offers it to everyone regardless, and it is a well of joy, really. When was the last time that you feel you drank deeply from the living water that he offers freely? Because we all need him. We cannot live this Christian life without him. We cannot live this life his way without him. It is tiring and it is impossible. Sometimes in the events of life, our joy is at a low ebb, but we can always come to him. He will never turn us away, and we can drink deeply of the living water that he offers. Just have a drink. I'll just have a drink. One Peter 1 verse 9 says, "For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We can have joy because of the salvation of our souls. Salvation is an absolute miracle. The miracle of salvation. When doing Alpha courses, I've seen the miracle of salvation in some of the lovely people that have come along. And in my opinion, there is no miracle like it. It is a wonderful thing to see someone transformed before your eyes and continue to be transformed by Jesus. To see people come along and all of a sudden there's this light in their eyes that was not there before, and that is him. And that doesn't come from clever words being spoken. It comes from the Holy Spirit. He does the work that he does without us. Colossians 1 verse 13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." At that moment of salvation, Jesus, our master, he comes and he pulls us out of the kingdom of darkness and he places us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And that means that the devil has no hold on us ever again. He has no claim on us ever again, because we now belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of heaven and earth, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are a new creation, born again, brand new, cleansed of every sin and pronounced before an almighty God not guilty. And there is joy to be found in this. There is so much joy to be found in salvation. And I ask you, do you remember that time when you felt that joy of salvation? In John 3, chapter 3, verse 29 to 30, John the Baptist is speaking and he says, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete." There is so much joy to be found in sharing the gospel. If you're feeling a bit rubbish, tell someone about Jesus because it will fill your heart with joy. And that's because the Holy Spirit is revealing the reality of who he is to you again. John the Baptist was set apart by God to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. He was to proclaim him. He was to point the way to him. And in this scripture, John the Baptist realizes that his work is done. He's completed the work that was given to him by the Lord. And it says that his joy is complete. He has been a good and faithful servant. We can have joy in our hearts when we follow the call of God in our lives. When we know that we have done what he has asked of us. And this is not a joy that we shout about. This is a private joy in our hearts of knowing that I've done what you asked of me, Lord. And being so very thankful that he even asked anyway. And there will be a cost. There will be a cost to following the call of God. Because we are following Jesus, and by following Jesus, it is always by the way of the cross. The scripture says he is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. We can have so much joy in our hearts when we hear the voice of the bridegroom and when we see others hear the voice of the bridegroom. That is the greatest joy of all, really. The lives we live as Christians, as believers in Jesus, are watched by the world. I really believe that if people know that you are a Christian, they will watch you to see if he is real. If we are filled with inexpressible joy, if we reflect his love, if we carry his fragrance, then by the power of the Holy Spirit, it will rub off. It will. And others will hear the voice of the bridegroom and they will respond to his call. The Holy Spirit uses all sorts of ways to reveal Jesus to human beings all over the world, all the time, every day, in ordinary lives. And quite often, he chooses to use his people. And through you, others will hear the voice of the bridegroom. And quite often, that may be when you're going through difficult times or tests or trials. How amazing, though, that he chooses to use us to show his love to the world. Now, there is lots of other things to be joyful about, but I'm going to move on because it is all in the Bible. So it is all well and good when life is good. It's easy to be joyful. But what about when it's not, when we are suffering or when we are full of stress or difficulty or pain or sorrow or grief? The Christian life is not a walk in the park, and you will probably know that if you've been a Christian for a while. Although I did read something this week and it said, being a Christian is like a walk in the park, Jurassic Park. does feel a bit like being chased by dinosaurs sometimes, doesn't it? Having joy while life is tough is not easy. It's easy to advise someone, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But when your life is falling apart, that is not so easy to live. Sometimes we may think, well, it's all right for so-and-so. It's easy for them to be joyful because they don't have the things to deal with that I have. I've found in life that people who seem to sail through the storms of life have very rarely had it easy. And that there is a deep-rooted faith that has stood the test of time and trials and storms. 1 Peter 1 verse 7 says, "Trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine." Our faith is valuable to God. It is so precious. It is so priceless to him. How will our faith grow? and be proved genuine if we never face tests and trials. As we go through these testing times, they will be different for us all. And there are times when sometimes all you can do is place your hand into the hand of Jesus and trust, even when the next step is uncertain. We can pray and we can worship him. Our faith is tested. It is tested to show that it is sincere, and it is tested to purify it. And yet, in the midst of trials, there is still joy to be found. Sometimes I think we come to a point where we have to ask ourselves, either Jesus is who he says he is, or he's not. Because if he is, that changes everything. Because he is the God who can do the impossible. And during tests and trials, we can reduce him to a God who is somewhere up there who's totally not helping me right now. There is a scripture in Acts 9, verse 5. And Saul is on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appears to him. And he stands in his path and says, I am Jesus. And sometimes in the journey of life, particularly in the storms, we need to be reminded of that. That he is still Jesus. Whatever is going on in our lives, he is still Jesus. He's still with you. He still loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's still in control, and the events of life, they don't surprise him. He knows all that you have to walk through. And he walks across the path of your life and he says, I am Jesus. I am the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. He is the one that we can't see and yet we love. He is the victorious one. He is the everlasting, almighty God. And so we can stop worrying and bow our heads in awe and majesty, and we can trust because we ordinary people stand on holy ground. And we can be filled with inexpressible joy. And I just want to say the trials and tests of life, they are temporary. Earth is not our home. Keep your eyes on the unseen one. We are just passing through here. And he is faithful, you know. He is faithful and he will not let you down. We can trust him and we can pray and we can ask him to change things. But even if he doesn't, he will carry us through. And if he is who he says he is, if he truly is who he says he is, then there is joy to be found. There is deep joy to be found because this amazing, awesome, holy God who is capable of performing miracles and moving mountains and doing the impossible, he is with us and he loves us and he rejoices over us and we belong to him. And however it works out, in the end, God wins. And no power on earth or in hell can conquer the Spirit of God in a human being. No one. He is an unshakable, unconquerable Holy Spirit, and he is the Holy Spirit, and he is living in you. And if you are here this morning and you're a child of God, a believer in Jesus, then you can be filled with inexpressible joy because this Holy Spirit, he is in you. And you can do miracles in Jesus' name because he is in you. You have power in Jesus' name because he is in you. And I just want to challenge everyone here. It's my last day. Go into a room, close the door, and don't come out until you feel inexpressible joy. And you may think, I'll be there for months. You won't. You won't, but it'd be worth the wait. So, just to finish, as a church and as individuals, we all need the joy of the Lord, particularly as a church. And the root of the joy comes from the Holy Spirit. There is no other source. I just want to say to you, lovely people, seek him with all of your heart. He is the Holy Spirit. He is our healer and restorer too. There is prayer ministry. I really recommend prayer ministry. If you feel you need more joy in your life, ask someone to pray for you. If you can't remember the last time someone prayed for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ask someone to do it, go for prayer ministry. Or if you just need a touch from heaven for whatever reason, he is the one to turn to. And I just want to say, if you're here and you don't know who Jesus is, you don't know what I'm talking about, please come and talk to one of us. Please come and talk to one of us. Or please go and ask someone to pray for you, because they will be willing. So I would like to pray for us all now, if that's all right. Lord, I thank you so much for this church full of amazing people. Thank you for each one. Thank you for the precious treasure that you have buried in each person here. I thank you that this is your body. And I pray, Lord God, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would fill this place with your joy. I pray that you would fill each person with your joy, Lord. And I pray, Jesus, that you would protect them. And I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to do the amazing work that you have done in this church, Lord. Thank you for the gifts and talents of every single lovely person. Pray for your blessings upon us all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.